Hello and welcome to Cooking Your Way Through Life.
Today's episode is Cooking Your Way Through Grief, and today's recipe is Swedish cardamom buns.
Cooking Your Way Through Life is a podcast combining knowledge of the kitchen and applying it to real-life situations. This podcast is all about understanding techniques to make things you already know even better. Topics from traveling on a budget, setting and achieving short and long-term goals, and of course, cooking.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about a topic that most of us have definitely gone through, and some of us don't even realize that we're going through because we deal with it differently, and that's grief. We're also going to talk about this really cool recipe for Swedish-style cardamom buns, and it is a dessert or a sweet, but it's for people that don't really want it to be super sweet as well.
Please welcome Chef Hollywood.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Cooking Way Through Life with me, Chef Hollywood. We are deep into season 5 at this point, and if you've been listening to every episode, just a small little shout out to you. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and listen. And if you haven't and this is your first one, what are you waiting on? Go back and listen to those episodes. I got a whole season 1 through 4. Season 5 has been popping out here. Like, this is my season of no features, no co-hosts, just me telling you a lot about myself and what's happened over the past year through this hiatus from season 4 to season 5. Today is no different. And I think it ties in very well with not only hiatus or like everything, but this happened. I've gone through a couple grieving processes in the past year. And I think it does, it happens, you know, like it's part of life. But grief is definitely something that I definitely want to touch on this season, because we all grieve and we all go through grief, but I feel like we deal with it differently, which is the way that we deal with it. But there are certain steps, or they call them the stages of grief, that I do think we all go through, even though we pretend like, some people pretend like they don't, but you really do. And I also wanted to touch on the fact of like, because the definition of grief is the natural response to death or loss. And I think people really put it with death, but I think that a lot of times we deal with loss and grieve loss more than death, which is probably great because that just means that less people are dying around us. But we also deal with death too, but it's the loss of things, which could include a relationship or a friendship or a job. So let's, before we get into grief, talk about the other side of today's episode. We're going to make Swedish cardamom buns. So this is the first recipe that we're doing this season that is more of on the dessert side. But even though it's a dessert, I mentioned in the intro, it's kind of a savory dessert to me. I mean, I guess you can make it sweet, but I really like it because it's not overly sweet. People that know me know that I'm not like a huge dessert fan, in a sense that I will always try dessert, but that's the problem. I'll try it. I won't really eat a whole dessert. The most I eat when it comes to desserts, if like dessert is the meal, there's a restaurant, Better Than Sex. Shout out to Better Than Sex. And they are really cool because it's a dessert restaurant. So yeah, like I'm having dessert, but I'd rather have salty than sweet. So, and even when it comes to dessert, I like more acidic things than chocolate. So key lime pie over chocolate cake any day for me. But in this sense, I think this is a well-balanced kind of sweet dish. And it also is a bread. It's a it's a bun. So it's like, you know, I love bread. So we're going to do that. But before we jump into the recipe, as always, we're going to start off with the topic. We're talking about grief today. And before I want to go over the stages of grief. Oops, sorry, hit my hand. I want to go over the stages of grief because I do feel like if you don't know that you've grieved before or that you are grieving something, sometimes just understanding exactly what's happening helps you put things into perspective. So the stages of grief are denial, numbness, and shock. Usually it's just that denial, you know, stage one is that denial of like, I don't care. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't care that that happened. I don't care I lost this person. I don't care that this friendship is over. I don't care that, like, this person's not in my life anymore. The relationship's done. And then you go into stage two, which is bargaining. Now, bargaining is the whole, like, you're in your head about what could I've done to prevent it. Like, okay, so what could I have done better? Like, in the case of a death, like, could I have called the ambulance faster? Could I have gotten to the hospital faster? Could I have been there? You know, where relationship is like, what could I have done better? Like, should I have said I love them more? Like, should I have shown more attention? Should I have done this? You know, when it's a job, even just like, oh, could I have came in earlier? Could I have, you know, could I have been a better worker? So it's like the whole bargaining stage. And then you move on to stage three, which is depression. And I know, especially in the Black community, I think we're getting better, but we deny that depression is even a feeling. But depression is stage three, where you just begin to realize the extent of the loss. And it's just like, you're depressed. It's just like, oh my God, like, this person's really gone. Like, they're never coming back. I'm never going to say good morning to them. Never going to have a call. Like, I'm never going to see them and physically hug them again. When it's a relationship, it's just like, oh shit, like, this relationship is really done. Like, it's nothing between us anymore. Like, we are not the same. Like, we were just happy and now we're not. A job, I mean, easily just like, I'm not there anymore. Like, I'm, you know, like, I'm not going into work tomorrow. Like, this job is officially done. The weird stage for me, and this is how I know when I'm really grieving something, because I love how this is stage four and not stage three, but stage four is anger. After you have been telling yourself this is not true, or like, I don't care, then you bargain about it, then you get depressed, you get angry. Stage four is angry, and it really becomes anger because you feel like there is this powerlessness that you couldn't control the situation. You're angry that this person died and you couldn't help them, or that they died and they left you alone. You're angry that this person that you were in a relationship with didn't fight as hard as you fought, or as hard as you think you fought, or they didn't fight at all, or they cheated on you. You're angry that they would hurt your feelings in that way and take you for granted. You're angry that your job didn't really appreciate you and either let you go or let you walk out without fighting for you. You're angry. And after stage four of being angry comes stage five of acceptance. You have to accept it. And I think the hardest thing for this one is the time. In time, you accept things because you know that you come to terms with everything that's happened, and you really acknowledge that there are both positive and negative things within the situation. You accept it. And I don't want to say you move on, because you accept it and you move forward. Moving on kind of gives that connotation that you're like, especially when someone dies, that you like forgotten about them. You haven't forgot about them, but you move forward because that's how life works. You have to continuously move forward. When it's a relationship, you have to move forward because that relationship is over. And no matter what, at the end of the day, you and that person are not together. They don't want to be with you, and now you don't want to be with them. And it could be vice versa. And with a job, you got to pay your bills. You got to move forward. Like, you have to get another job unless you're a trust fund baby. So you have to move forward. So the acceptance comes with time. And I think that's a really interesting part about that, is because the time, it just depends on the person. The time that it takes for you to accept it is not going to be the same each and every time. If you lost five people to death over the last 5 years, you might take different times to move forward from each one. You might still be trying to move forward from somebody when somebody else passes away. And that's the thing about moving forward. If you stop, life still happens. So you have to continue to move forward, but give yourself grace, because the time is the one thing that you can't control. I think the most important thing in this to remember when you're grieving is that you do need to go through the steps, because it's gonna happen if you deal with the grief, right? If you deal with it, it's gonna happen. These steps happen. It's just human nature. For most people, I mean, there are people that don't deal with emotions that well. I'm one of them, and I still go through grieving process. So I don't know. but like, if you don't deal with it and go through it, then it just kind of festers. And I think it becomes toxic, and mostly for you, especially when it comes to some, like a breakup, for instance. If you don't grieve the breakup, and I know that sounds really weird when if you never thought about it this way, but if you don't go through those steps in a breakup, you're still in the same place you were when that person hurt you. So when you see that person again, none of that anger, none of that. And I don't talk about the anger from going through step one through three. It's just the anger of what happened in that moment. You haven't dealt with anything else. You're just still in that same place. So that person has moved on with their life. They do not care. They do not care about you. And you are still there. It's like they're holding on to, you're holding on to something, and they have a hold on you, and they don't even care that you're there. And when it's like that for a death, it never will be resolved. That's why I started a relationship first and went to death with this part, because it'll never be resolved. If you do not deal with grief when someone dies, you're never going to see that person in life again. So you're going to always hold on to that. And that's just weighing on you for no reason. And I think it is easier with a job or like careers and stuff, because you have to move on. Like, you don't have to move on from death. Like, you can just pretend like they never happened, which is very unhealthy, pushing it down. You don't have to move on from a relationship. You can just not get in a new relationship, take that baggage with you going forward, and not really ever be happy in a relationship because that person did you so wrong. But when it comes to being in a job, you kind of got to move on. Like, you, it's like you're forced to, you know, like those two, you don't have to, this one you do. So it's a little bit different, but I think taking into account to really just deal with grief is very big, because a lot of times what happens, I go to therapy, and I didn't talk about therapy a lot this season, but like when it comes to grieving, I think therapy helped me, because I'm one of those people where I don't cry a lot. Like, three people have seen me cry, and one's my mom. And it's not because I try to be so macho. It's not anything else. Like, it's just, it's not a response from me that happens a lot. And so I think it's one of those things where I was just like, oh, I can't really grieve the same way. Like, I need to figure out. And but I still feel the emotions. It's just that if that happens, like if I cry over you, man, like that's a seriously special bond. And like, I don't even think the person realized how special it is, because it's a big thing. And so if you don't deal with the loss of something like that, like for me, if I don't, then that's just going to hinder me so much in life. And what I was saying about therapy is that I learned that you can push stuff down, but it's very easy, like analogy and things. It's just like, it's pretty much pushing the garbage under the rug in your house. It's out of the way, but it's there. It's a big lump under your rug in your living room. And even if you don't always see it, if you try to walk through it, you might trip up and something, you know, like people are just like, oh, what is that? And I think, you know, you meet somebody and you just like, why are they just like, it's just this little bit of a little bit of anger leaking out, or a little bit of like craziness. It's just like, oh, because they haven't dealt with something. And that's why I think grief happens a lot. When you don't deal with it, it just festers up and it comes out in weird ways, man. Like, and I've just learned to go through my emotions and feel my feels. That's the biggest thing that I've learned in life. I feel my feels, and I don't care how crazy it makes me look now, because it's for me. And I don't want to hold myself back to make other people comfortable, you know? So you just got to deal with it in some way, shape, or form. All right, let's get into these karma buns before we talk about too much grief here, because we do need to make something today. Oh my God. For today, we're making these karma buns. I do want to point out we are using green cardamom. Second time we're using green cardamom this season. And I say that because cardamom comes in usually green or black, and you can use the black cardamom, but we like to use it more in a savory side. And really, when you're doing really rich, deep dishes like smoking meats or making a marinade, it's great for that because it has a natural smokiness to it. So you wouldn't want that natural smokiness in this cardamom bun, which is going to be more on the sweet dessert / savory side. So the most important thing about this is that think cinnamon roll, Swedish style. We make a dough, we make a filling, and we make it into a bun. But it's really a nice braided bread here. So for the dough, we need milk, we need yeast, we need butter, we need brown sugar, we need the ground green cardamom, we need all-purpose flour or just self-rising flour, and salt. That is it. We're going to start with the dough first, then we'll talk about the filling, because the dough takes the longest in this. And the one thing I do want to go over is if you never made a bread, essentially, with a yeasted bread or yeasted dough, it is very important to make sure that you activate the yeast. So the first thing you do is you warm the milk gently, we like to say, or like slightly. So you have warm milk. And if you're doing it on the stovetop, you're just doing it until it starts to bubble or start to simmer, and then you're good. If you're doing it in a microwave, I don't recommend it, but go slow like you would butter so it doesn't erupt. But you also don't want your milk to be steaming hot. Once it is pretty much once it's up to temp, then you want to sprinkle your yeast over the top of it and just let it sit for a minute. The warm milk is going to activate the yeast. And you know your yeast is activated because it changes in smell. It releases this gas. So you're going to smell it. And once it starts to activate, then it's going to change the bread itself. So without it, then your bread will not be a yeasted bread or yeasted dough. And it's just going to be very flat. So we want that to happen. While that is activating to the side, you want to mix together your softened butter. I didn't say that, but you want your butter to be soft, your sugar and your cardamom, and add the salt to the flour. So basically you have your salted flour as your dry ingredients, your salted butter, sugar, and cardamom, not as wet, but also your wet ingredients here. And then you want to mix the butter mixture that you made into the yeast and milk. So now is the wet side, wet ingredients, dry ingredients. Once that butter mixture with the sugar and cardamom and goes in with the milk and the yeast, you want to mix that all together. Your sugar starts to feed the yeast. So it's activated and now it's beginning to feed, which means that it will work for you. Now, once you get all this mixed together, it's going to be a little frothy, especially from that yeast. And you want to slowly and gradually add in the flour. So add your dry flour and salt into your wet. As you're adding it in, you want to start the kneading process. So you can do this in a stand mixer. You don't have to do this in a bowl. But if you're doing it in a bowl, you're just going to slowly start to add it in with, I would say, a spatula would be the best thing. And then once it starts to come together, then you want to use your hands and start to knead it a little bit. In a stand mixer, you're going to put it on the bread hook on low and just let it go until it comes all together. And then once it comes together, you want to put it in a bowl. So a clean bowl, you can have a little bit of oil or a little fat in there, but a clean bowl, set it aside in a warm place, and you want it to rise. So I would say about 30 to 40 minutes, you essentially want it to double in size. This is why you want to do this first and why it takes the longest, because you do have to let a yeasted dough rise. So you want it to double in size, cover with plastic wrap and the bowl. Set it to the side. And they say a warm place when you look at cookbooks and stuff, because if it's in a cold place, it takes longer to rise. So you have to double your time. That's why I always say let things rise in your kitchen. It's usually the warmest place in your house. You can do it over by the window where the sun's coming in, but let it rise. While that is rising, let's go back into our recipe, because we still have to make our filling and then make our buns. But it is honestly not that long, but we do have a second rise to come. So back to our topic of the day, talked about the different stages of grief, talking about breaking it down. This past year, outside of everything else, I had someone very, very close to me, their fiance passed away. And it was very sudden, to the point where I was talking to their fiance the day before they passed away. And I've dealt with death before, and I've dealt with people that I know dying. But I think sometimes it hits you differently, or at least in my case, because there's death that you know is coming, like a grandparent or a loved one that's sick for a long time. My dad was sick for a long time, and he was in the hospital for a long time before he died. So I feel like not that his death didn't affect me, but it affected me differently because I had the notion that it was coming. You know, there was hope that he got better, but there was also a notion that we've been in the hospital for more than a month visiting him, you know, and he's very sick. Versus this was I'm talking to you, we're planning stuff, and then boom, you're dead. And I think that sudden urge of like not being able to say goodbye, not having closure, not having answers, it just leaves you in a weird space. You don't even want to start the grieving process because can you like it's just it honestly put me into a tailspin for a second, and it made me feel so weird because I'm like, that's not even my fiance. Like, that person who is someone I love so much is dealing with what I'm dealing with. Like, I'm dealing with something so small. Like, this is a grain of sand to the beach. Like, they're dealing with something that is immensely worse. And it's not to take away my, like, what I was dealing with, but like, it was just like, I just put myself in their shoes for a second. I was like, oh my God, like you got to get it together because they're dealing with something that's even like, they're dealing with it even worse, you know? And I think that it took me a minute to grieve the person that passed away because I pushed everything to the side to make sure that I wasn't taking attention away from my loved one who lost their fiance. And I think we do that sometimes with grief. We kind of like, we put it on hold. But I did acknowledge that it happened, and I did go through the stages. I just did it in a way that I didn't want to bring attention that I was, you know, like I was just always making sure they were okay before. But it does, it hits you in different ways. Like I feel like I got to the point where I was just like, oh, you know, death happens. Like, but I just never experienced it in that way. And it just caught me so off guard. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong way. And I don't know if I did it correctly when I pushed things to the side to help my loved one, but it felt right in the moment. And I did go through the steps and I didn't push everything down to make it disappear. I just postponed it, I guess. But yeah, it was just such a, it put me in a weird space, a weird tailspin. And at the time I was actually talking to somebody who was really helpful, and just listening and being there for me. And I do give them the utmost respect for that because we had some toxic situation, but they were really there for me. So, which also goes into good segue into the grieving of relationships and stuff. Like, people, it's just like, I think to get proper closure in a relationship, you do have to kind of grieve grieve it. And I don't think you have to be like, you don't have to make a spectacle out of it, but I do think you have to feel the feels, you know, and like really understand, because you're going through all that stuff with a relationship anyway. Like when you break up, it's just like, nah, this didn't really, like, no, it didn't happen. The denial and then the acceptance, the anger, like the bargaining, like, but yeah, I do feel like sometimes we talk about spinning the block this season. And I think sometimes we spin the block because we haven't really grieved the situation. So we still have that hope and we still have that, we still have that kind of don't want to say denial, but like we haven't really gotten over it. So we have not grieved it. So it's easier to spin the block because it's not dead and gone. But I think because I am a big person on like, it's gone, like it's over. Maybe that's why I don't spend the block as much or at all yet. I say yet because I don't want to say never say never. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I think grief just hits you in different ways. And there's waves to it, you know. Before we get into the wave part, let's get back into this recipe. We did the dough. Is rising. Now we need to do the filling. The filling's pretty fast. So I mentioned that it's kind of like a Swedish style cinnamon roll. So for the filling, you just want to have some butter. Also, both of these, all the butter we're using today, unsalted. That's because you want to add your own salt. We're using more light brown sugar or brown sugar, dark brown sugar, either one you want. And instead of doing cinnamon with the brown sugar, you're using a cardamom. So that's why I say it's very similar. Just instead of cinnamon and brown sugar and butter, using cardamom, brown sugar and butter. So you add all of these things together. So all of your mix for your butter, your cardamom, and your sugar. And once your dough is done rising, we want to roll the dough out into a long rectangle. So yeah, just do a rectangle on your countertop. Easiest thing to do. And then just like cinnamon roll, you want to spread your filling out evenly on top of your long rectangle. Now, here's where we get into a whole different round, a whole different thing here. If you look up Swedish cardamom buns online on YouTube, there are many ways people make these, and they look so beautiful and look very hard to make. Now, two things. I'm going to go over the traditional way of making it. But the other thing is, I'm going to also tell you, you can just make these however you want. And I'm not saying that to like disrespect the Swedish cardamom buns at all. But I'm just saying this to say that it's going to taste amazing. So do not worry if they don't look exactly like the ones online. You'll be okay. So what you do is, after you make it into this rectangle, you spread all the filling across. Now, instead of rolling it all in one, what you want to do is, you want to fold it. So the first fold is going to be, you're going to fold it into thirds. So fold the short end over halfway across the rest of the dough. And then you want to fold the other side on top of it. So layers here. So fold in, fold over, it's layers. It's, you should see dough and then your filling, dough and then filling and then dough. So a layer here. Now, once you do the layers, you want to cut your dough. I would say it's about 6 strips. If you made a smaller rectangle, it'd probably go like 5 strips. But you're doing this crosswise. So they are joined on both sides. So that means you are turning that now long rectangle into the other way. And then you're doing it crosswise so that each side is connected. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing top to bottom. All right. So then after that, now you have these 6 strips. Now you take one piece of the dough and you're going to twist the 2 strips together and then tuck one in between where they join and loop over. This makes no sense as you're listening to this on a podcast. So what I'm going to say is definitely go and Google cardamom buns and just watch somebody make them. It's so much easier, because the thing is that this is a visual thing. If you're not a visual learner, then you might understand exactly what I'm saying, but I'm a visual learner. So this one is one of those that I really want you to make it, but it's a really hard one for me because I'm a visual learner. But let me just say, if you take the strip, one of the things you can do is just twist it all together. So make it a twist. Take it around your 2 fingers, your index and your middle finger, loop it around twice, and then tuck it underneath, and you'll have a cardamom bun. Now, the second part of this, or third part of this, second rise is the third part. Before you bake these, you have to let them rise again. So you essentially have worked this dough. So you got your gluten activated. You want it to rest so your gluten can be softer, so that you don't eat a pastry or a bread that is very tough. Now you've rolled this dough out, you filled it, you tucked it in, you turned it into a nice little bun. It's also been used a lot again. So you want it to rise again and you want that gluten to soften again. So you want it to rise one more time. While it's rising for the second time, about 30 minutes, you want to make sure that your oven is preheated. Now we're going to cook these pretty high because we want them to cook pretty fast, but you want to kind of be crispy on the outside and softer on the inside. So about 425 degrees Fahrenheit. The other thing is you want to make sure that you have a really beautiful crispy crust. Golden brown is what you're looking for. So to do this, we want to do an egg wash on the outside. The egg wash turns your dough into this golden brown. So we're going to sprinkle the egg wash. Lightly brush the egg wash and then sprinkle some sugar around it just so it browns on the top and gives us a little bit more of the texture. Now, with this sugar, there's a couple things you can do. If you're not into it being super sweet, you can do just a little bit of granulated sugar. That's all. You can also make glazes for this. So you'll see them sometimes served with a glaze, just simple milk and powdered sugar, simple glaze to go on top. You can do a vanilla glaze, a lemon glaze, whatever you want, a cardamom glaze to go with a cardamom bun. But if you want this to be a little bit different, use pearl sugar. So that's the big granules of sugar that don't really melt, that'll give you a little bit more texture and still a little sweetness. So those are just some options for you. Last but not least, we really like for these to be served warm. You'll notice that if you go to Sweden, we serve these warm with coffee or tea. They're just delicious. They're just like one of those things that just like, think croissants in France or cinnamon rolls in America, anywhere. It's just one of those things. I really like it. It can be sweet, but it doesn't have to be overly sweet. And it's just really, really nice. So you serve this warm with some coffee. So once they come out of the oven, go ahead and place them on their plates. And they are good to go. And we just cooked them to their golden brown, soft on the inside, crispy on the outside. Perfect to serve breakfast, like lunch or late night time. Like they're just good all throughout the day. All right, guys, as we finish up our cardamom buns, head back over to grief. I finished off saying that it's waves. And I think that's the best way that grief has ever been described for me, because it also never goes away. Like, I think people hear the like, you need to work through your grief. And they're like, okay, I'll work through it later. Cause once I'm done working through it, like I'm done. And I was just like, that's not exactly what happens. Grief comes and goes in waves. You will deal with grief. Like when you least expect it, it might not be over, you know, like forever. Like, and then one day you look at me like, I haven't dealt with that in a long time. Especially with a death. Like you can't lose someone that you love and expect to be over it and done with the grieving process in like a month and never think about them again. You know, there's sometimes where I go through ways where like I still miss people that have passed away. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that happens with everything. And that's why it doesn't just pertain to people dying. It's also pertains to loss. Like just because you went through the grieving process with your ex boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't mean that you don't think about them and like those feelings don't bubble up sometimes. And I think that's why I say never with spinning the block. Like, I'm not saying that it can never happen. It's just that the good thing about going through the process is you process all your emotions. You put everything out into perspective and you like have a better understanding of, huh, okay, well, these things happen. I did all I could do, blah, blah, blah. I was angry. Now I'm good. So you go back into it with a level head. I would say at least if I spent the block, I would definitely want to grieve them because I at least go back in with a level head, you know. There's times where I miss a job for certain aspects, even though I don't want to go back. But, like, I missed it. I missed the certain aspects of a job. Like, so it's waves, man. Like, you never know when it's going to hit you. You know, you're just out there in the middle of the ocean. I was just on a vacation in Cancun. And we were sitting in Cancun, and if you ever been to Cancun, like we was at this resort that had our own beach and everything, waters are calm. We're sitting in the water and all of a sudden these waves come and I'm just like, where the hell did they even come from? That's grief, bro. You're just sitting there like, and then all of a sudden it just hits you. And it's just like, what the? So that's why I think waves are such a good analogy, because sometimes you're sitting in calm water and this wave come out of nowhere. So ride the wave, feel your feels, and go through the grieving process, man. It's not a negative thing. I think anything is a positive thing, and it allows you to move forward in a better way. You know, we can't control death. We can't control loss. We can't control pretty much anything except for ourselves. And we can't even control that sometimes because you're not God. So it's how you deal with it. Yeah. All right, guys, as always, it has been a pleasure. I hope that you have enjoyed today's conversation as well as today's recipe. Don't forget, I do have seasons 1 through 4 in my cookbook that is out at barnesandnobles.com as well as amazon.com, Cooking Your Way Through Life. Same title as the podcast. So if you made it here, you can make it there. And for this season, it'll be going forward with these recipes in different ways. And maybe a new cookbook. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to say. We'll see. But either way, I will get these recipes to you in a different format. As always, like I always promise, I do appreciate each and every one of you for listening. Every single time you do, more than you even know, like way more than you know. I really appreciate it. But have a great day, and I will talk to you again on another podcast. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Cooking Your Way Through Life with Chef Hollywood.